Welcome to the Sales Intel Series 2 podcast, Pipeline Pioneers, where our goal, our objective is to help the community learn from the experts, from practitioners, as to how to build a strong pipeline that ultimately converts into revenue. You know, as we know, pipeline is the heart and blood of any organization, and generating pipeline isn't just sales responsibility or marketing responsibility or BDR responsibility. It truly takes a village to come together to build a pipeline that ultimately converts into revenue. Today, I'm excited to have Caroline Holt with me. Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Manoj. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you. So to kick things off, Caroline, would love to start with your introduction and your business, and how, in your role, do you build the pipeline?
Sure, absolutely. Well, my name is Caroline Holt. I am the founder of a consulting practice called Toying With This Idea. I've had the program practice since 2007, but it's had different iterations over the years. But I actually started my career on the product side. So I worked at a funky little research company in Washington called the Corporate Executive Board, which is now part of Gartner. But I started there. I was working doing HR research, and then they figured out that I was really good at talking to our clients. So I moved over to the sales side, first as a BDR. I scheduled about 330 meetings, all outbound, for chief marketing officers and general counsel in the Fortune 500. And then I came into outside sales. And so I started building my own pipeline, again, working with kind of a BDR and then a couple of BDRs. To develop about $8 million in revenue over the years that I was selling. So I've always cared a lot about pipeline. I didn't actually know, because we didn't have true sales training or anything like that when I started selling. But we at CEB were laser focused on the accounts that we were going after and who we were working with within the account and what the messaging was that we needed to talk with about them. And so that really, you know, from the very beginning of my career, I became, without knowing it, because I was also a kind of an accidental salesperson, I became absolutely obsessed with who the clients were that you're chasing, what it is within that account, who it is within that account you should focus on, and what your messaging needs to be based on who you're talking to, and how you really tap into them. So understanding specifically who that person is and what that person looks and feels like. And so after a number of years selling, I came off the road and I built sales training and enablement at CEB before kind of the enablement word was a buzzword. But in that role, you know, I was supporting 40 different product areas. And so we had to be really clear on who our account executives were targeting and who they cared about and how they worked with their BDRs to be able to schedule those meetings. So I've been in the, you know, kind of obsessed with pipeline generation for a really long time. You know, you can be the best closer in the world, but if you don't have pipeline to close, it doesn't really matter how good you are at doing the final stretch. So that's a little bit of how I've gotten into it. And I'm delighted to be here to talk a little bit more about it today.
Oh, thank you. This is great. So just let's dive into the very topic that you are so passionate about, figuring out who are you selling to. So, you know, in today's parlance in sales and marketing, we call it ICP, your ideal customer profile, and then a buying center, right? Who's the right type of company, and within that company, who's your buyer? How do you, back when you were practicing and now you are consulting for so many companies, how do you advise them on figuring out the right ICP or refining? If the company's $30, $40, $50 million, they already have defined ICP, but you know, do you constantly refine that? Do you use any tools, any data? What's the process that you use?
Well, certainly you have some amazing tools for that. So that's great. I think that the ICP definition, I find a lot of clients, and I'll be honest, my world from a consulting perspective is around go-to-market assessment and effectiveness. So really looking at what creates or reduces friction in the sales process for salespeople. I am not an ICP, there are consultants who really specialize in that area. But when I work with clients on who their ICP is and who the personas are, it's usually through the lens of, what do your salespeople need to know in order to be effective? So when I ask clients, you know, what their ICP is, often what I get back is a very generic version of, you know, we work with anyone who has larger than this revenue size, larger than this number of employees in these 25 verticals or these 25 industries. And you know, that's kind of like pulling out a phone book or using you know, any sort of provider like SalesIntel to figure out, okay, well, here's my entire market that I could go after. But that doesn't really help a salesperson understand who they're targeting to accelerate their pipeline generation. So what I try and work with clients on a little bit more, both when I was in-house and out of house, is let's first take a look at who is buying from you and renewing from you. Because you know, who you want to target is often different from who actually purchases from you and stays a customer of yours. And so for clients, if they haven't figured that piece of it out, that's the first place to go. And you'd be surprised sometimes some larger companies really haven't looked at it from that perspective. They keep looking at the, you know, where they want to go and not necessarily where they're already quite successful. So that's the first piece. The second is who are the titles that, as you say, are kind of in the buying center for the value of what we can provide, and then who else needs to actually influence that decision. So you might have somebody who, you know, within a business, you might have three or four different buying centers, and you can multi-thread that deal and have, you know, be reaching out to multiple parts of the business at the same time to try and engage them in a conversation about what, you know, what they're working on, how that could work. You could also have multiple parts of a business that is working with your client directly, right? And so making sure that your salespeople understand who those folks are, what they care about, what pain points they have, and then being able to tie that back to what you do is super critical. Once you understand that as a salesperson, then you can start to prioritize, who am I going after? What am I saying? What's the progress that I'm making? And you need a tool to understand, okay, who is the actual individual within a business that I need to talk to? When I was a BDR, I could dial in and say, hey, who's the person who's responsible for this? There's nobody answering those phone calls anymore. And if they are, they're expecting that you probably already know that, right? And so there's a lot of resources that would be really helpful in making sure that that salesperson, once they know who to target, how to think about reaching out to them and who that specific individual is that they want to work with.
That's great because once you know your ideal customer profile, I love your idea of not only ICP and buying center, but what message are you going to deliver to them, right? So there's a trifecta to really generate the pipeline that has the highest chance of converting. Great. Let's talk about AI, and how do you see AI impacting, you know, BDR role or in general go-to-market, you know, landscape?
So I would say, first of all, if anyone listening is not already using a ChatGPT and Anthropic, somebody at least once a week, you're missing out because there's so much efficiency that can be gained. I think that there is very much the need for a human to be continue to be involved in any sort of use of AI as part of a sales process, but you know, I can give you some examples of how I teach other folks to use AI or how I myself do. So for one thing is, you know, from a just a research perspective on a client, right? So if you're talking about ICP and buyer persona, even understanding that, what, you know, plugging into ChatGPT is kind of my on staff intern, so to speak. So I will say, okay, I'm talking with Sales Intel. Tell me a little bit about what insight should I gather about them before having that conversation? Or you know, I'm starting to get into, I've got a client who works in business to commercial in large landscape. And so they might be talking to a golf course, right? And they want to know, okay, if I'm meeting with a golf course, what are some of the golf course superintendent? What are some of their most critical challenges that they care about? What is the seasonality of their business that's going to be important? How much, you know, what are the two or three pain points that I should talk about? What are some of the questions I should anticipate? So you can feed your, you know, your own product information, you know, certainly publicly available, not proprietary, but you can feed your own product information in there and say, okay, so of these things, what are some of the things that they're going to have some questions about, or what might be interesting to them? So I love it for that. You can't typically get pricing information on different organizations, but if it is publicly available, sometimes you can. So you can, you know, I find it super powerful to say, you know, I'm going to meet with this organization. Tell me a little bit about how they compare to these two or three other competitors, or they are currently working with this competitor of mine. What are some of the things that they're going to like about that? Why would they switch? Why would they not? Right. And it's again, you need a human, right? So it's not like whatever it's feeding you, you just take and start to hand over. But it's helpful background information, stuff that when I was a salesperson would have taken me or somebody on my team a number of hours to put together. You can get it back in a matter of moments. I love it from a prioritization perspective. So you can kind of plug your calendar in and say, okay, when, tell me when the next time I'm meeting with Manoj's, right? And oh, you're actually talking to him on Wednesday, or so those sorts of things I think are really powerful. I love there's just so I feel like every day there are more interesting ways to use it. I used it recently. A client was asking me about some, kind of innovative sales kickoff ideas, and I just popped it in there and I said, well, here's some start. And then it gave me enough to start to work with, and then I played around with it from there. So I think there's probably you're only as limited as you can think of ways to use it. And I have found that the more that I use it, the more comfortable I am with using it. I love how it's sitting in sales tech now as well. I think some of that is already well executed. I think some is more in the idea state and not quite ready for prime time yet. But I love that companies are trying to figure out how to get AI to be optimized within their technology.
That's great. So mostly in the research ideation, just save the time that otherwise, BDRs and AEs, were spending. This is awesome. So you're defining your ICP, your buying center, you know exactly what to tell them. You have all the research, right, available for sales and marketing purposes. How do you optimize your investment across multiple channels? Because generating pipeline isn't just go put the paid ads. You have to do that. Not only just hire a couple of BDRs, you have to do that, right? I often play an interactive game with my guests. So let me switch the gears and we can share the screen here, Carolyn. I know you are not actively an insider in a business, right? You're helping many companies.
Insider in lots of businesses, but
You're
not
excited
an
in a lot
I
of
don't have a I
businesses.
don't have a sales team myself. You're looking at the sales team.
Right. No, this is great. So let's say we can take one or two scenarios that take, if let's say if you're an insider in sales intel, how would you advise me? What questions would you ask me to advise me to say, Manoj, here's how you should be investing your 100 pennies?
Yeah. So when I saw this in some of your prep materials, I thought, okay, well, this is really interesting because it would be very difficult to allocate 100 pennies without knowing a lot of detail about how you go to market and how you think about what the maturity of your own business is and who your competitors are. Obviously, I know some of that. But I was thinking about some of the things that I would want to know from you in terms of where I'd want to invest first. So, one of the things that was on the message that you sent, although I don't see it up here, is customer success, right? And I actually think that like ICP, and I mentioned this earlier, starting with who your customers are that you're successfully serving today. I think a lot of companies make the mistake of going after new logos and not really thinking about where they're already making money. It is not easy to get more money from existing customers, so I want to be clear on that. But if you're already doing well with a certain set of customers, looking at how you can expand and grow that, right? And then start to go after more folks like that. But if you're finding that people are not renewing or they're not growing, those accounts are not growing in the way that you'd like, I would say you start with, 50% in your customer bucket of your customer success. So let's make sure that our customers are getting to value quickly, that they are, a referral source for us, that they are that the QBRs that we're delivering have a so what for the customer, where they are seeing exponentially more value than the cost of the sale. So that would be the first thing. The second I would say is, are your leaders and your salespeople and your product people, frankly, aligned on who that ICP is and those buyer personas that you're going after, right? So often I see product folks who are like, well, this is not really at all what it's designed to do. And so we keep having these situations where the salesperson sells something that's not quite right. Or, and then the salesperson says, well, the thing that you're trying to sell is not something that the market wants. And so I'm selling the thing that the market wants and hoping it'll influence the product. So that alignment on those personas and those ICPs, are they buying and renewing, as I mentioned, but do we have a clear message for them? Is that message different based on the titles or the part of the business or the size of the business or the buying centers? And does my sales team know how to morph that message? Do we know who else is going to influence that sale? And we know how to talk to, once we get the value to the CRO or the sales ops person that you're selling to, Manoj, then, does your team know how to then loop in the finance person and speak their language, whether they get in front of them or not? Are you all easy to buy from? Do your salespeople run that full cycle or pieces of it? So if the answer to any of those questions is no, then you probably need to move right quickly into kind of the sales and sales enablement place where you can really define more of that. And then as you think about going beyond that, the inbound versus outbound, right? So you're talking about channels. Inbound is great if you have enough inbound interest, right? So a lot of companies don't have that yet. And so if you're going outbound, you're interrupting people, they're focused on other things, they're not in an active buying cycle. So do you have tools and materials? Do you have scripting? Do you have skills, folks who can create opportunity, as opposed to simply follow up on opportunity, which is a different part of the buying cycle. So I find a lot of clients don't have those two. So I'd say, that enablement piece or that kind of definition of what we need to be saying and doing for the right people, it would be the next place I'd spend resources. And then I think the last place, around the partnerships and that community partnerships piece, I think, the LinkedIn community. I think about Jason, right? The amount of time that he is influencing the brand image of Sales Intel and talking with folks, I think that is helping create buzz in the marketplace. And then understanding the partnership size, are there other people who should be talking more about what you're up to? How to think about it? Is that complementing your, BDX, ABX strategies? How that all comes together is super powerful. So I'm not doing a very good job playing your 100 pennies game, but that's how I
All
would
good.
think
That's
about
why I took it off. Let's just pick, two channels, right? And then say for what type of companies will those channels be the most optimum, right? Communities, for example.
it.
Last year, a lot of our go-to-market leaders, they put community, partnerships, and events. Those are the three favorite choices for them. What questions would you ask a company that leads them to invest more in community?
So, I would say I'm not a community expert by any stretch. I think that the where you're if you're in a space where the influence of your peers and or the influence of folks slightly more senior to you are really powerful, particularly in a place that's already commoditized, right? Where it's like, okay, I've got, people that are engaging on something that they care about actively. There's already a need in the market, and we're helping to fill that and keeping this top of mind as an additional benefit to what we offer. I think that's a place where community can be really, really powerful. I think for places where organizations are kind of breaking through barriers, disrupting, they probably need to spend more time in that. What is the cost of inaction? What is it the thing that we're solving for? How expensive is that for an organization? And then really focusing more on their evangelist play, their kind of challenger sale of pain and helping unpack that, spending more time in front of customers in a more of an event venue or someplace where they can help or human to human, right? Where they can really challenge status quo. So I think a lot of this comes down to, how mature is the industry? How mature is the, how much is whatever a company sells, an active part of their annual budget, whether or not you as the vendor are the active part of their budget.
God, what advice would you have for a company like ours, right? We are in a space which the outside looks very crowded, right? You have 10 different companies that are, giving the same message about the pipeline generation, data, intelligence. But when you really dive deeper into it, there are only two, three companies that have the depth and the width and the quality of information of the data that is available. But to a buyer, there's a lot of noise, right? So how would you advise a company like ours to go generate a pipeline using which channels, one or two or three?
That's right. So I would say that an organization like yours that is in a more commoditized space, if the buyer feels like it's commoditized, making sure that you understand, have more of those senior level conversations. Because I suspect that, maybe sometimes even a sales manager or sales ops manager is the person making the decision on which tool or tools to use and to the do our salespeople use it? Yes or no? Is it working well enough for us? How, you know, what's the uptime we have? That's a very commoditized way to think about what you do, right? That's not probably at all what you're spending time thinking of. That's not what your product team is spending time thinking of. So I would think about, you know, what are the ways that we can educate that CRO, that CEO probably, who's spending every week getting eviscerated by their board on why they haven't made more progress on these dimensions. So what are the things that you could be doing, teaching, helping them to see where, you know, the combination of that plus the, okay, if we're doing that at the senior level and having more of the community where we can, you know, have those referrals, also understand, you know, a ZoomInfo or somebody else, if they're, how long is that contract, right? It would be silly for your AEs to be following up with the same people who are under contract for 3 years, right? They're probably not going to get that ripped out. So how do you think about seeding that opportunity? How do you figure out when and how to rip and replace? How do you do that powerfully? How do you make it super easy for the client? So kind of coming from, you know, understanding those BDRs or those AEs, doing the fact finding of how long are the people we care about under contract? How do we kind of keep them engaged? But how do we really influence that more senior leader who ideally is influencing that decision, but recognizing that in a more commoditized space, there's probably somebody more junior who is actually responsible for getting anything other than the signature and is probably getting beaten up about the pricing, right?
This is great, Carolyn. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your wisdom. I'm sure the community is going to get value. I for sure learned a fair bit.
It's been so great to be here. It's great to see you. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.